I have just unceremoniously grabbed Matt Pierce and dragged him right over into the live stream for the Cure channel. Matt, are you there?
Whoops, I had my mic off. Yes, I am here.
Yes.
There we go. Ladies, how's it going?
Welcome.
Would you be able to slide my co-host into this, Kevin, at the crossover as well?
I think he's over there in the Discord? I'm sorry, I didn't even...
I was so busy. I think he is, yeah. No, that's all right, man.
There he is. Yeah, get him in here.
All right.
That's him, right? I was going to say, I grabbed the right one, right?
I hope so. Kevin, are you there? No, maybe not.
Oh. Hello.
Yeah,
there
we got
he
him.
Is.
Sorry, right, having some last-minute technical difficulties. How's everyone doing?
Good, 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 good. Now, we're here to talk about Krypton. Now, I will say, I only got the chance to watch the pilot for this. I know there's several episodes further into it at this point, but I only got the chance to watch the pilot. But Matt, Kev, how far into the series are you guys? Are you guys fully caught up?
I got caught up about an hour before you guys. I was scheduled to come on.
Oh,
so
nice.
I'm fully caught up, and I think the season finale is Wednesday next week? Wednesday or Tuesday next week? I'm not exactly sure. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not exactly sure when it comes out because I just watch it on one of them boxes. So,
yeah. I am currently 7 episodes in due to a scheduling error on my part. I thought that our live stream was tomorrow at this time. So I'm a little caught with my pants down here, but I have a bit of an idea of what's happened in the last couple episodes.
Justin, Loisos, did either one of you watch any of Krypton?
Again, I didn't really know what segments I was going to be on and what segments I was not going to be on.
I did not.
I apologize. I did not get a chance to watch it.
No, it's fine.
I won! My brother, once again, back to trolling Bill over in the chat. $1.07 donated.
Nice. Well, let me ask you this. Do you watch any of the CW DC shows and or the Marvel Netflix?
I've watched Flash, and I'm a fan of Supergirl.
That's because you should be a fan of Melissa Benoist, because she is a goddess.
That's true.
Yeah. Actually looks like Supergirl in the show. It's quite remarkable. Like, that's how I expect Supergirl to actually look.
I've been very happy with all the casting on that show, actually.
I'm pretty honest when I say I don't watch much television at all. I've watched, I think, the first few episodes of The Flash. I watched the first few episodes of Supergirl, but other than that, like, I don't really watch any of the DC shows. I've watched none of the Marvel shows except for the Netflix shows. I've watched through Daredevil. That's pretty much it.
So I'd say, like, Krypton for me, if I count all of the Marvel, Netflix, and the DC shows, and I guess I'll say spoiler alert because I may just spoil most of this for everybody. We'll see how this goes. But to me, I think it falls somewhere in the bottom five-ish, I would say. Like, it's to me, it's not a great show. It's definitely on the right network. It's on the Sci-Fi network in the States, and up here in Kenyatta, it's on the Space Channel, which is what we call our sci-fi ripoff. There's a lot of what I would say is, like, it's so Star Trek-y, but definitely a little bit of Star Wars.
I wanted to say, I'll jump right on that, actually, because I watched the pilot, like I said, and legitimately your introduction to the main character, whose name is it Segel?
Yes.
Segel, Cameron Cuff's character. So your introduction to him is legitimately, like, I felt like I was watching Star Trek 09 being introduced to James T. Kirk.
Yeah, absolutely. Now that you say that out loud, yeah, you probably could have put those two side by side, and then
it was like, blew me away. Like, because he's in a bar, he's being cocky, he's being smarmy, he's spouting off one-liners, and they're decking him, and he's getting back up, and he says something else. Like, that's exactly what it made me think of. I was like, this is really Star Trek-y.
Yeah,
I think that's kind of the origin story prequel thing, right? It's like, take somebody whose character we know to be strong and very noble, and then put either their past self or their ancestor in, like, a really scummy situation. Like, this guy's a dirtbag. You wouldn't expect that from Superman's grandpa, would you?
That's a really, really good call. You see, I want you guys to talk more about the show because, like I said, unfortunately, I only watched the teaser, but or not the teaser, but the premiere. And After the premiere, like, were you guys sold on the show? Were you guys like, okay, I'll ride with this. I'll see where it's going to go. Or were you like, eh, I don't really care for it, but I'll keep watching anyway.
Myself personally, I think that if you just asked me to watch the pilot, I don't know. I probably would have said no based on I it's tough to say, because I think that tease you get of Brainiac right at the end, because I'm such a, to borrow a wrestling term, I'm such a Brainiac mark that I probably would have stuck around just to be like, oh, I want to see where they go with this because I love Brainiac. But if you keep watching the show, I don't get quite enough Brainiac to keep me around. And then the rest of it is kind of like, well, we're talking about these characters we've never heard of and getting into, hey, this is, you know, like, hey, these are characters that exist like 50 years before the characters that you know and are much more interesting are doing stuff, right? So
yeah, my opinion's around the same, Matt. It's not a great intro, but I'm such a huge Brainiac fan that I'm desperate for it. I'm hungry for it, and not getting as much as I would have liked, unfortunately.
Yeah, like to me as a hardcore Brainiac fan, I'm watching this and these people are doing stuff where they're like trying to overthrow governments, and it's very like the hierarchy they have in the city of Kandor on this, I would say, is it's very, this is where the Star Wars thing comes in to me, because it's very like when you watch Star Wars, there's the Empire, and then you know, the Empire has their, you know, their hierarchy. And then for some reason, they listen to the magic guy, like the Sith Lords, the magic guys with the laser swords, right? They answer to them for some reason. They do this thing in Krypton where they've got their soldiers and their, you know, rich political types. But then there's like the voice of Rao, who like Rao is the god on Krypton from the comic books and whatnot that we all know. And then there's a guy who basically wears this weird mask and he's kind of their Rao Pope that they all have to listen to, even though it's like, why are we listening to this guy? They haven't quite established that. So you just kind of take it with a grain of salt. But I don't know, like that, like that's not really doing it for me. And at a certain point, I don't know if it's a good or a bad thing, but I just find myself actively rooting for Brainiac. And just, I'm like, just show up and like kill all these people. Who cares,
right? I think it happens in like episode 3 or 4 where Adam Strange is like, no, here's the thing though, is Brainiac totally takes this whole city of Kandor and puts it in a bottle and your whole planet blows up. And I'm like, man, can we watch that show?
I thought there were some, at least some interesting elements that were introduced in the, in the premiere. Like, I liked that they were kind of like in this, like the city surrounded like by like what, like an energy barrier or whatever, and then like there's this ruined, like the ruined Krypton like out beyond it. It almost made me think of like, if you think of like Judge Dredd with like you got the mega cities and you've just got the wastes outside of it, like it kind of almost gave me that kind of a vibe. But like I really, really strongly disliked the Adam Strange character. Really, really, really did not like him.
Oh, he doesn't get better either, let me tell you. Oh, he is bad.
Hey, kids, I'm here with your 20th century Earth pop culture references.
Well, you know what the good thing would have been, too, is like he comes into the show, he gives Segel the key, the crystal thing, and then he disappears. So I'm like, oh, okay, that was it. He's just gone. And then he just randomly shows up again, and I'm like, wait, why is this guy back? What the hell else is this guy going to add to the fucking story?
Yeah, that, you know what? I agree. Yeah, it felt like he was just going to show up and be like, here's the MacGuffin you need to save the future that will exist. And then, no, he hangs around. And
he breaks every rule of time travel, which is don't address them directly and then just hang out for an extra 8 episodes just so you can possibly continue to fuck shit up.
Jeez. Yeah.
It was there's no attention paid to like actual like time travel rules, I guess, that are established in just written medium, right?
Which I get from Zod's perspective, because who gives a shit?
But yeah, because here's the thing: about 6 episodes in, spoiler alert again. Yep. Colin Salmon, who was in the first season of Arrow, he played the Walter character that was like sleeping with the mom and whatnot, and was doing all these weird, suspicious stuff. He shows up as the leader of some sort of evil thing they've got going called like Black Zero, like some underground cult, and it turns out he's just General Zod, who's also back from the future, and we don't know. Yeah, I know. What? And I know it's not a great reveal, and And Adam Strange, again, to add to his Rolodex of terrible stuff that he says, he refers to Zod as Superman's greatest enemy, and hey, Lex Luthor's knocking on your door there, bud. But, it just doesn't make any sense other than basically a big, twist ending to one episode.
Actually, to throw it back to what you were saying earlier about, James T. Kirk in the, 2010 Star Trek, that was their Star Trek Into Darkness moment. It was that, I've heard of Khan. Yeah, don't trust that dude.
Yeah.
So basically what you're telling me is this show does what Gotham does, and it just, well, at least in the earlier, the early season, mm-hmm. I have not watched Gotham since, but it just continues to just shovel, Superman characters and Superman lore and all this stuff at you instead of just letting this story just be what it is.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. Yeah,
I think we've said all of them at this point, basically, all the references that we really get in those first 8 episodes. But there are a couple things that I kind of enjoyed, and the reason I was kind of brought on at the end of the first episode, being the Brainiac fan that I am, because I kind of like the plot line they sometimes do of, Brainiac was the ultimate destructor of Krypton, and now Earth is just the next step on the trip. I have a weak spot for that sort of story. That was okay with me, but the rest is why is Zod there? Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. That seems really out of left field to me. If they would have ditched Strange, he comes back in the pilot and it's like, why are you still here? And then I liked, it made perfect sense that the Zod family is still there, obviously, because they're going to have, and of course they're part of the military, which all made sense to me, and I was fine with that. But, oh, wow. So basically now it's going to become kind of a guessing game as to which Superman character is going to show up from the future next time. Probably.
Yeah, it seems.
Well, I'm waiting for another L to show up, otherwise Supergirl's family goes completely unexplained.
Yeah.
My God. Yeah, and I was into the idea of Seg-El being in love with this Lita Zod.
Yeah, bride. I liked that from the,
because I was like, that's pilot. Yeah, because that's like a fun little Shakespearean kind of tragedy thing where you like, if you're a big Superman fanboy like myself, you think to yourself, an L and a Zod together, right? like that should not be something that happens, but I was like, okay, I dig it for the most part, and it's just, yeah, it's just, I'm really into your comparison to the first season of Gotham, where it's just like, because Gotham is incredibly similar too, in the sense that it's like we're telling this weird prequel where, again, it's the characters however many years before they're actually interesting, right?
Yeah.
And let's just heap on these name, these references and stuff, even though they don't necessarily make sense. Let's just hope they stick with the fanboys.
Right.
To the point where I can't remember if it was episode 6 or 7, but there's this really, this is cool moment. I mean, it makes no sense on paper.
No, it does not.
But it's cool for it's a cool way to end an episode. And the cool way to end an episode is the Black Zero group that was run by General Zod, they're trying to find this weapon, because it's the classic story of there's a weapon that we can use to defeat Brainiac, we just have to go get it, and then,
for centuries,
yeah, it's been hidden for centuries, and whatever's behind that door will get power to defeat Brainiac, and
they
once
say
we have
it's
it,
just a legend.
Yeah, and then when they open it up, they finally get there and they're like, here's the door, and they open it up, and then the doors slide open, and in this containment tube of some sort is fucking Doomsday.
Yeah.
And it's
yourself.
Yeah, and it was like, oh, hey, Doomsday actually looks cool. Yeah, I mean, it makes no sense that he's here, but sure, proceed, right?
Why?
Yeah, it's...
Oh, that's so heartbreaking, because I was, really, Adam Strange aside, I think that the pilot does enough things right. It's pretty visually interesting. The costuming could probably use some work, but I get it's a sci-fi show. They don't have that big of a budget, so I was fine with that. I didn't think the performances were too terrible. I thought they were fine for this type of show, for what they were going for. And
everyone speaks, space British.
Right. aside from Adam Strange being in there, I was really, really kind of sold on it. But see, and that was what I was kind of worried about. Like, I was like, please, I hate it when they make these shows. And that's why I refuse to watch Gotham, because I hate it when they make these shows where they just can't stop reminding you of the thing that it's a prequel for. It can't just let it be its own story. It has to constantly be like, oh, hey, by the way, Superman. Like,
yeah. Like, I really don't know where you go for a next season on this sort of thing, but like, as far as like production values and stuff like this, like after the first episode, which is enough to sort of keep you on, the next few are very just samey. I don't know if it's an issue with the production, because like the whole thing looks like it's set on like three different sets, made shot from different angles, like in Zack Snyder's basement. you know what I mean? Like everything's wet and black, and everyone's wearing black clothes or gray clothes. You know, everyone's name is a syllable, and they tell you so many at the same time that they all kind of run together, like to the point where you could tell me, oh, Darren, which one is he? And I would have to think about it for a minute.
Yeah, that's a good point, because I don't remember their like half of their names. Like, there's the Vex character. That like the female Vex character that I don't even remember her name. I just
know about to say I know her name because she's the most visually because of the white hair.
Yeah, that's true. But I just she looks like discount Bridget Nielsen from like 1987. So that's just like what I call
is that
like
the girl that is like supposed to like be unit like become his wife or whatever.
Yeah, she sticks around. She could. Yeah, the Bridget, Bridget Nielsen looking broad.
Man. Oh,
like,
definitely Bridget Nielsen. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, not as tall, but I mean, still there. And then there's like the one black dude who has like the most dead eyes I've ever seen in my entire life. And at one point, Brainiac takes him over, and I'm like, well, that's just a natural transition for this guy who has just dead eyes. It's so creepy.
Oh no! But what is his personality?
Yeah, it was just oh god, it was so creepy. So yeah, half the time I'm like, I don't even know. I know that guy's Segel, and I know that's Adam Strange, and I'm just like, proceed. I don't like. I'm not memorizing names, right? Like, just not doing it.
Like I couldn't tell you Barristan Selmy's name off the top of my head.
Yeah, that was it too. Yeah, the guy from who was in the pilot he played Barristan. Ian McElhenney, who was his grandfather, who gets thrown into I don't know what was that supposed to be like some sort of phantom zone, but like a phantom zone that kills you. I guess I don't know what that was.
He was thrown beyond the wall.
Is that what?
Yeah, I guess
was?
He just like he was just thrown into a big pit. Like he was. I like they don't really.
The space the
anyway. They don't really explain. Here we go. Interrupted Tales says, the show has Vex. Now I'm not going back to Destiny 2. Thank you for the $6 donation. Bill also donated a few dollars there to even out the chat amount again. Nah. But yeah, they don't really do a good job of explaining it in the pilot, but it's like, for whatever reason, and I guess it's, you could probably chalk it up to because they're chewing through the planet's natural resources, leading to its inevitable destruction. But like, it looks like most of Krypton is like a wasteland that's uninhabitable. And they kind of just throw them out of a, like into a pit in it or something.
Well, they basically, yeah, I guess they basically got two set pieces in this show. And one set piece is this, like, it's like, here's our set pieces for this, for Kandor, where it's like, we've got a bar and we've got a room where we go to have kind of space meetings. And sometimes people bring bombs into that room.
Not a basement.
Yeah. And then the other set piece is we're outside in the snow, where it's constantly a blizzard, where it's not constantly, where it's never not a blizzard, and we're just trying to somewhat survive whenever we get thrown in the blizzard. But yeah, it's always
a variation on those, right? Because even like the Fortress of Solitude is like the same Kandor shot with a few extra glowy props.
Yeah,
it's like the back room. Like just the garage behind the other set,
because everything is so like dimly colored and vague, and like any location could be the same as any other location, and everyone basically has the same two names. Like I felt like I dreamed of episodes 2 through 5.
I just kind of stared blankly at the TV for a moment when they were like, "This was your grandfather's Fortress of Solitude," and I was just kind of like,
"Yeah, that was corny." Yeah. Completely agree. That wasn't great.
Like the crystal, whatever, but he couldn't have just been like a lab.
Yeah, they definitely wanted to name, like, it was one of, because they did that in Gotham too, where they just name drop everything, right? But
yeah, and they still have the statues of like his parents or whatever. Like, what?
Yeah, that was like, I was like, are they going to like make Segel like Batman now? Because his parents get killed in the premiere. I was like, is that what's happening?
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Oh, he's out for revenge.
We figured out a way to make this Superman prequel compelling. We're going to turn his grandfather into Batman.
Yeah. He's just haunting the streets of Krypton in a black outfit.
He's already got the dark attire right. So, I mean,
yeah.
I think
Kryptonians are superstitious and coward in that.
Uh-oh. Oh, man. Ladies and gentlemen. The Hobster is in the chat.
So, hide. Before this show, like when we got like the first sort of teasers for it, like a year or so, Matt and I had a podcast in which we discussed like the Superman prequel we would like to see allied Gotham. At that time, I was pitching for like a Lois Lane mystery series, which I would have loved so much more.
I'd buy that. I'd buy that.
Like you do it halfway between Gotham and Agent. And you have, like, minor characters, like, I mean, you can even have characters as big as, like, Lex Luthor, but you can have them as minor as, like, you know, random news reporter from Central City who is rivals with Lois and so on. Like, have that be a show. Like, set the stage for Superman. Like, I don't necessarily care what happened to his grandpa years ago.
Yeah. All right. So, I mean, basically... We're running up on the end of the segment here, guys. So, are we passing on Gotham or not Gotham? Yeah, fuck. Now I got Gotham on the brain. Are we passing on?
I'm passing on Gotham. I think I'm passing. Like, if I were to rate this show, I'm sitting at like, but I would say I'm more optimistic that this show could get better. I don't know. To me, it just seems like they've got a real show if it wasn't attached to Superman but I don't know. I wouldn't have turned it on if it wasn't for Superman. Six out of 10 for me, maybe a 5 out of 10. That might be a generous 6.
Damn. I would give it like a 5 asterisk out of 10, which is the same as Matt, but I could see how they're sort of setting up for a pretty epic season finale here if we do get the Doomsday Brainiac showdown. Like, I could see where that would be interesting.
My beef is,
though, I think that it would be better in a second season, but I don't know what they would do for a second season. Yeah.
My beef is they would never have the budget to do, like, hey, like, Doomsday is just going to fist fight Brainiac on the Sci-Fi Channel. I'm like, okay, no.
Well, what I'm picturing is, you know, Arrested Development season, Tobias in his Thing costume.
Yeah. Like that in season 4. That's a good reference considering season 5 is
coming. It'll be like the Smallville Doomsday, where legitimately their budget was so low they couldn't even like show him for more than a quarter of a second in the most darkly lit room possible because the costume was so bad.
They were still the WB at that point, weren't they? They weren't even the CW. I think
that was after the CW, because after it became the CW, that's when Smallville's budget just got obliterated.
Yeah, you're right.
All right, well, gentlemen, it's been a pleasure having you on the live stream for The Cure. Tell our audience that's watching out there about your show and tell them where they can find you.
Well, our show is The Crossover Podcast, where you can find at thecrossoverpodcast.com, facebook.com/crossoverpodcast, and soundcloud.com/crossoverpodcast. And we tend to discuss all of nerd-related topics, much like Krypton, which we just discussed for the last half hour. But also, I tend to talk about a lot of sports because I got a lot of sports stuff. In fact, on my other screen right now, I'm currently watching the Golden Knights and the Winnipeg Jets head into the second period down 2-1. So I tend to have a lot of opinions about sports and comics and movies and pop culture. So we tend to hit a little bit of it all. We're going to be doing Bachelor recaps soon because The Bachelorette starts in a week or two. So there's that.
I was going to say, there's also the non-sports, non-nerd stuff. Bachelor and Saved by the Bell and...
Saved by the Bell? Oh my God. Saved by the Bell. Hey, that's one of the best shows ever made. No contest. I'd love to hear you guys talk about Saved.
Our 100th episode, we did an absolute breakdown,
like retrospective.
Yeah, a complete breakdown of the.
Did it include anything to do with the Buddy Bands? Please tell me.
Oh, the Buddy Bands came up constantly because episode was insane. I was fascinated with the fact that in that episode, the teacher would give money to Zach, and like the economics teacher or whatever the hell it was gave money to Zach. Yeah. To fund the Buddy Bands. And I'm like, well, in high school, I'm just imagining what would have happened if the teachers gave money to high schooler students when I was in high school. Probably would have spent it on weed, would be my guess, but I don't know. Shit like that about Saved by the Bell still fascinates me to this day.
Lord, well, we'll have to cut the Saved by the Bell discussion for another time, gentlemen.
Next year on the live stream. Live stream 3.0. Next year's live stream
3.0. Bring it back.
You guys are amazing. Thank you very much. I really, really appreciate you coming on. And yeah, heartbreaking that Krypton only gets worse from here. So I think I will probably skip out on watching any more of the show.
Yeah, not recommended.
Good to be here. Thanks so much for having us, and good luck with the rest of the stream.
You know what? I've been doing so terrible about this. I'm so sorry. I'm supposed to have... I have logos and I have, like, everything for everybody. Right on here. There we go. The crossover podcast. Brantley, I got your pick in there. Deadpool, thank you very, very much. Matt, how the hell are you?
I'm not doing too bad. I wanted to ask you guys a question, just harping off that Grease thing. What do you think... Which movie do you guys think sends a worse message to females? Is it Beauty and the Beast or Grease?
Grease.
I don't know, because it's tough, because like Grease to me sends the message of, you know, if a guy doesn't like you, well then just go ahead and change everything about yourself. Exactly. Until he likes you. And then Beauty and the Beast is, hey, it's just a classic, like, this guy is so abusive, but god damn it, if I love him enough, maybe he'll change. And either way,
it's arguable. I think Beauty and the Beast is more like, look at the person deeper inside rather than what's on the exterior. That's a good lesson for kids.
Yeah, it's not bad. I mean, there's definitely lessons to be taught there. Beauty and the Beast for me, but
I think the best thing about the best lesson that Beauty and the Beast teaches us is that all of our household appliances are really kitschy characters that can be brought to life with magic.
That's true.
Also, and don't remake it ever.
Yeah, especially in live action format. I actually never saw the live action one.
Yeah, don't.
You're lucky.
Yeah. Didn't see that.
Nick, you didn't even see it, did you?
Yeah, I did.
You didn't ever watch? Oh, you did watch it eventually? Yeah,
I did. I watched it on Redbox. It was, I agreed with you and Loisos completely. It was very, eh. It was very...
The songs were well done, I thought.
Songs were fine, but the whole time you were watching it, you're like, why did they do this?
Why am I watching this?
Exactly.
There's no point to remaking a perfect movie. Like, what was the last one that came out was freaking... Death Wish with Bruce Willis. Why did they remake it? We got Death Wish right the first time.
Don't even get me started. You're talking about the Bronson podcast right here. Bronson's my favorite of all time. So you're totally right. It's the only film of the past 5 years that I purposely boycotted and never went to go see. And I give everything a shot. So no. Eli Roth, no. Bruce Willis especially, no.
Eli Roth directed that? So was it a torture porn movie?
Yes, at certain points.
Yeah, the Sauce was the only one of the Epic Film guys that actually watched it.
I refused. I did not
watch it. I consider myself a guy who is relatively informed on the internet with the movies. I had no idea that there was a Death Wish remake coming until I saw a trailer for it. And I was just like, maybe I saw it and I just mentally blocked it out because, again, I have no idea why you remake movies we got right the first time.
They had been going through many iterations with different directors and different people involved, and the original idea they had I liked a lot. They were actually going to set it in the 70s and make it like a really gritty noir type film, but then Joe Carnahan left and then they got an Eli Roth, and well, we all saw what happened after that. You don't get a hack to, you know, direct a remake of a classic, so it is what it is.
Ooh, shots fired with the hack comment. Like it.
He's made one pretty good film and one really entertaining film, but other than that, I mean, he knows his shit. He knows his film, but for some reason, he can't translate the film that to his own films.
Yeah. All right.
So,